down to three. One, two, three.
Praise God! Hallelujah! Amen!
You're good.
I have a book in my collection at home that I've had for 30 plus years. Almost 40, I guess, now. By a man named E.W. Kenyon. The book is called New Creation Realities. That's the name of the sermon text, New Creation Realities. Basically, the book had to do with what happens when you come to Christ.
Woo!
Amen. It should be a woo. If there's anything else than that, you can come. By feelings. I feel very strongly about Mississippi Mud Pie. I feel very strongly about filet mignon. I feel very strongly about a good beer. That comes and goes. In one hand and out the other. As my mother used to say, in one ear and out the other. That's the difference. I don't want to go through one ear and out the other. I want to stop.
Amen.
I trained a woman once to run a machine, and she needed a job to run this machine. She had several children. She raised the children by herself. She had to work third shift. And she needed the money, the extra money she would have got, if she could pass the test to run this multi-million-dollar machine, which took phosphine and argon and other kind of gases and supercharged them and sent them into substrates of wafers, which would act as a white light switch to turn on or off them. And she would tell me, her name, she was, God bless her, she was an older gal, redhead, from Oklahoma. That's not that. And she would tell me, I just can't get it. I just can't get it. It goes in one ear and out the other. And I said, it's coming in one ear and out the other. And I told her, I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit right next to you. And when I start to tell you something that's really important that you need to know, I'm going to reach around you and stick my finger in your ear. She said, what? I'm going to reach around you and stick my finger in your ear. So when I'm fitting in one ear, I know it ain't going all the way through. Truth. That's gospel. You're embarrassed her enough to make her really crank down and pay attention. When she took her test and license to run that machine and passed it, she ran wherever I was about to knock me down because she was so happy that she passed it. That meant this much more money an hour that she could take care of her kids and her family.
Amen.
That means she didn't have to work on the acid lines. And she got to work in a place that was a little bit safer. Not much, but a little bit. So many times we have things that come in our ears and out the other. We have things that slip through our fingers. All of us know money goes right through our fingers. That's why our hands like this. Like sand. But in the book, He said that we're changed. Fundamentally, physically, spiritually, to atomic levels, we're changed. If you truly accept Christ. What happens to the baptism when the person gets baptized? Goes in, gets baptized, and comes up, and goes on to do what he was doing all the time.
It ain't real.
He just got wet. If you knew the exact day you would die, would you act differently? Think about your answer before you say it. Think about your answer. What would you say if I told you, I could tell you the exact day you died? By asking a couple questions. First off, you think, okay, Buck, you finally lost it. I'm glad we do not have any boxes in the sanctuary anymore. I may even get stoned. But what would you say if I could tell you the day he died? Just by asking two questions. What bit of free meter? First question. Questions are made to pass, not to pass out. Do you remember the day you gave your life to Christ?
Yes.
Does every one of you in here remember the day you gave your life to Christ? Question number two. Do you remember the day you were baptized? Do you remember the day you were baptized? Now, if you can't answer any of those questions, come on and see one of the pastors at the end of service. And today will be the day you die.
Amen.
You got that? If you can't answer that question, do not leave this building without seeing one of the pastors and say, I want to die today. And if you don't remember the day you were baptized, Kirk loves filling this thing up. And I love holding people under that.
Thank you. Amen.
When their eyes get real big, that's when I know it's time to bring them up.
When the bubbles stop.
No, not when the bubbles stop. But that is the day you died. The day that you gave your life to Christ. The day that you said, Lord, I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Lord, change me. Lord, come into my life. Lord, make me different.
Amen.
That's the day you die. You should die. Now, there's those who say, man, there's people standing around. I can't do that. And then there's those that say, yeah, I can do that. And they accept the Lord, and they go on about their life. Nothing changed. Well, maybe it's different. They start coming to church. So I can call myself a Christian now because I accept the Lord and I come to church. There are chairs in the church that make them a Christian. Christ will have you. John 3:30-31. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that comes from above is from above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speak of the earth. He that cometh from the heavens is above all. Galatians 2:20-21. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I now know in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for the righteousness could be gained through the law. If righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing.
Man.
I know most of you. I know some of you have an evangelist heart. That is a hard heart to have. But you want to stop and pray and touch everybody. Have that heart. When you die, that moment you truly died, you truly gave your life to Christ. You truly gave your life to Christ. You cease to be who you are, who you were. That dead man or woman is dead. Got it?
Amen.
You do not need to carry a shovel. You do not need to carry a crane to go out to the graveyard and dig that guy up. He's dead. Alright? He's gone. When you do the baptism, what is the baptism? It's an outward sign of an inward happening. It shows the old man dead and the new man rising. Or you can go down a sinner and come up with a sinner.
New creation.
Who knows? I know some people. I know two guys. Young men and I put 10 years to get each other. One of them knows the Lord more about the Bible. He's forgotten more of the Bible. But I know. And he turned his back and walked away. This kid. I've seen him pray for you. This kid. I've seen him lay hands on people. Kid knew it. Got it. And he turned and walked the other way. And the worst thing about it is he took another one of our dearest friends with him. That makes me angry. That hurts. Combine that with 20 years into those two, and hear them turn around and say, I do not believe in God. I don't believe there's a God. That's freaking, I can't say that. That messes me up. That just messes me up. I want to grab the bigger one and just smack the living daylight out of it. Dude, how can you once know? How can you once know and then turn around and deny the God? Deny God what you have. Then I want to cry. The younger one was over my house the other day. I said to him, you know what blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is, right? Yeah, I know what the book says about it. When you turn your back and totally deny him. But once knowing and turning your back, that's an unpardonable sin. Yeah, well, I do it all the time now. What do you say to that? What do you say to that? How do you react to that? Still love man. Still love him greatly. And I pray for him. The younger one says to me, why didn't you meet me with the other one? And I'm not taking you both on at the same time. That's bullshit. I don't think you one at a time. And whatever you come in, whatever you guys say, I will listen to everything you have to say. I will get to you. I don't know everything. I don't know a lot of things. But I do know that whenever I got a question, God answers. All my life, whenever I had a question, I'd ask God. He'd always tell me to give me the answer. Even if it was the same as he told Daniel, it's not for you yet. First Corinthians 15:31. I protest by rejoicing which I have in Christ our Lord. I die. Galatians 5:24-25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified it. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit, leading into every part of our lives. Every part. Even when you're driving down the highway, that person cuts you off. I mean, even before your wife is sitting down, Pastor. Every part. Are we supposed to lay down everything and just roll over and say, Lord, it's all yours? I no longer live because I'm a dead man. Yes is the answer. Yeah. Affirmative. See, thank you. I'm dead. Look pretty good. But because I died, the rock contradicts the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he returned to heaven, 40 days after he rose, he was seen by 5,500 at one time, but there's a bunch of others that he was seen by. But that 40th day when he rose, there's 500 people out there, and they all watch him go up there, and they all look, you know, like turkeys out in the rain. Right? Angel stands there and says, dude, the way you see him go, the way he's coming. Go do what he told you to do. But Jesus said just before he left, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. Randy, he did not leave you comfortless. He sent the comforter. The rock called Hakodesh, the Holy Spirit. The third member of the Trinity. Name goes by Elohim also. And that spirit came into us. When we die, that spirit came into us. Every last given the same amount of the Holy Spirit as everybody else.
Woo!
Amen.
You have the power. You know, like that song was, I got the power. Every time I hear that song, I remember a show once when they were doing that song and all these people doing acrobatic little things. And those people across the stage,
I got the power.
There he went. But you've got the power! Did I say that Christ lives in you? You know what that means? You know what that means, to have Christ live in you? It means you get to do some things that are very uncomfortable. That means you get to do some things in front of other people and when you think is absolutely the worst time. And you're telling the Lord, no, I'm not going to do it. The Lord says, oh, yes, you are. Because if you don't, I'll find some rocks.
And
they will talk.
And they hurt.
And how dumb are you going to look good? There's time every day in your life, or at least weekly, that the Lord will tell you to talk to somebody. That the Lord will tell you to reach out and grab somebody's hands.
Yes.
The Lord will say, I want to touch that person. I want to hold that person. You're going, what? I don't even like him. I love him.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. When you died, you gave up your rights. Your rights are done. Not my will, but thy will be thought about. You do it. I guess someone else to be. Is this thing working? Oh, I think you got a wrong number. Christ lives in you. I have a dear, dear friend. And she tells me that she's just a little bitty thing. An older woman. Now, have I told you before, if an old woman prayed for you, give up? Because they do not shut up, so you might as well give up. Fact. She was telling me last time I saw her, she says, I really have nothing to give. But there's times when I feel the Spirit of Jesus moving in me. And because I am not my own, because Jesus lives in me, Jesus uses my body to do His will. Jesus uses me to go up and touch somebody. Jesus used me to come and hold somebody. Jesus uses me just to sit next to Him and listen. Because Jesus wants to sit next to you and listen. Because Jesus wants to talk to you. Now you may sound like a male or female, but it's Christ that's talking. Or it's Christ that's listening. Have you ever been compelled to do something, just had something Lord drive you? And I'm not talking drugs, and I'm not talking alcohol, and I'm not talking about whatever. But something that comes inside you that compels you that you have to go see somebody? Do it. I'm telling you now, do it. Do not hesitate. Do it. Because the consequences usually mean someone's life. It did in my time. It did in my life. I was compelled to do something I didn't do it. But it cost me a dear friend. Woman died at an attack. And I carried that 35 years or more. Because I wanted to do something else. God has sent me to do something else. Creation. Ephesians 4:20-24. We have taught you with regard to your former way of life. Put off the old self, which being corrupted by its deceitfulness and deceitful desires, be made anew in the attitude of your mind. And put on the new self, created to be like God in truth, righteousness, and holiness. By the way, if I don't finish this week, I will finish it next week. Just warning you now. Colossians 3:10. When put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created him. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. And the new is here. What does that mean? It means the old is gone. And the new is here. Did I physically die that day? I physically died the day I was born into this earth. Science says up to about the 8th day, you're more alive than ever, and then you start dying. So figure. I have a dear friend, just a little bit older than me, who's supposed to be here today. His mother fell. His mom was very old. She's ready to go. He's in a lot of pain about it. for myself that he had a heart attack. But he kept driving himself and driving himself and driving himself and driving himself. He didn't lean on anybody else but himself. What did that get you? Well, it got him a heart attack. Slowed him down for 4 or 5 days. He couldn't go really do anything. He had to take the Sabbath. The hard way. Kind of like Israel did. Israel did what they wanted for a long time. They ended up in Babylon for 70 years. God knows, man. Real good. He's the world's greatest mathematician. Doesn't even have to have a computer. They tell him pi, what pi is, to the millionth decimal place.
Hey, God's up.
I said who pi is, and we had some really good pi is. I don't know who made the Alpha Crisp pi, but stuff was good. Thank you, Lord. But God listens. When we've given our life to Him, there should be a difference. There should be a difference in the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you act. It should be so noticeable that someone who knows you and knows where you buried your skeletons and everything else comes and says, what happened to you? Who the heck are you? That's a compliment. When you accepted Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, you gave up everything, every right you have. You gave up your life. It was nailed to that cross. It was taken out of that cross. It was laid in a grave. It rose. He's coming back. Sooner than later. Sooner than later. When you gave your life to Christ, you became a citizen, not of the United States of America, not of Texas, not of this world. Since you became a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
Let's try to port you that one. But the Bible says there will be those that are deported. That scares me more than everything else. What do you know about what I'm saying? Lord, did not do this, did not do that, did not do this. The Lord says, I know you not. Depart.
That's hardcore.
That is hardcore. If you are thinking you're all this and all that, well, I got honorary fruit. I can't remember back where it is. I think it's in that. Where this sorcerer came up and said, look, dudes, I give you some money and you give me some power. And I believe your answer was, go to hell. Because that's exactly where you're going. We're always trying to figure a different way out of it. There are pastors today that will not talk about hell, the consequences thereof. There are pastors today that will not talk about the blood of Christ. There are pastors today, and I've been in sermons where they've done it, the Lord has told me to send it back and away again. So here comes the Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket.
Lord says that ain't enough. Send him one more time. That's when you want to take the bucket and leave. That's true believer. Can you judge him for that? Can you? Yes, you can. If you judge righteously, you will be judged righteously. Well, I'm not that righteous guy. So I'm just going to let it go. I'm just going to let it be the way it is. Man walks into a building and pulls out a gun and shoots a bunch of people. Is he guilty of murder? Doggone right he is. Pretty easy judgment. Right? Especially with all the cameras we got everywhere nowadays. That's pretty solid. That's simple. One guy walks in, locks and loads, wipes out 20, 30 people. He lives through it. Is he guilty? Yes. Now here's the tough part. Can he ask for forgiveness?
Yes.
And we see it. What was that? Something about repenting? Something about being sincere? No, I just asked for it, right? Whew, I thought, I repent. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. That hair trigger just went down.
Ain't love.
Doesn't that make you kind of upset? I know, for me, I have a hard time understanding it. Person comes in and kills even Hitler. Or Stalin. Mao Zedong. Tong. Whatever. That guy in the tomb, yeah. Manson. We can go on. There's hundreds of names that we can do. The enemy has always had an Antichrist ready. He's always had an Antichrist ready for any moment. Why? Because he doesn't know the time or the hour that our Lord will return. He doesn't know the time or the hour that our Lord will return. So he's always had an Antichrist in the wing. Always had one there waiting for us. Caesar. Alexander the Great, I guess. I don't know if you can go through. Name all the big figures in history that did wrong and massacred everything else. Custer. Go back and forth. He's always had an Antichrist in the way to pop up. Little egg. Not the Antichrist, but a Antichrist. But when we see these things happening, first thing we say, man, I'm glad I wasn't there. People go to a concert expecting to listen to good country music. Get shot. Guy goes to the grocery store. He gets the milk. On the way to the grocery store, some kids in a car flying down the road didn't see the lights change. Hit the car, killed the man, kicked it out of it. Is that right? We live in a fallen world. That's right. That's right.
be there to fall more. We are no longer slaves to sin. We don't live a continuous lifestyle of sin. Before I laid my life down and asked Christ into my life, man, I was pretty good at sin. Thought I was pretty fair at it. Came back from Germany, 20 years of age, and I could drink a case of German beer, which is 20 half-liter beers, and it still functions. That's equal to American beer and drinking a keg by myself. I thought I was bad. Yes, I was. See this beer? You know what this beer is for? Hell, I know it. Got a lot of bites. And I'm like, you know, and I had days of blackouts, but by the grace of God, that He knew one day I'd be standing here. That He protected my foolish self. That I could be here one day. First Peter 2:24. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live righteousness. By His wounds, you were, past tense, healed. One more page. We're going to be here next week. What I want you to know, more than anything else, is that when you accept Christ, you are no longer yourself. When that woman in the back row back there says, "Yes, I do," and I said, "I do," we were no longer Buck and Anna. We became the Taylors. When she gave me that kiss, about took the breath out of me. It was a good thing they had a rope around us if they held me up. Just like Christ. One day, I can still see that our wedding is distant. I'm at the altar. Here comes a beautiful woman wearing lace and a veil and all this stuff, a train coming down that aisle. And I turned and looked at the priest and said, "That's mine." Turned and looked at my dad, who was the best man. "That's mine."
Amen.
Let's fast forward. There's another wedding I'm going to get to go to. And just imagine the train then.
Wow.
Just imagine how many people are going down the aisle. Just imagine the Lord Jesus Christ standing there and turning to the Father. "That's mine."
Amen.
Amen. "That's mine. Mine."
Woo! To that one.
"Even with the beard. That's mine." It's 7 years for that wedding. That's a lot of people going down that aisle with Christ saying, I do.
All I got to say is thank you, Lord.
Amen. you died and you truly gave your life to Christ, you should have changed. The old man should have died for one very sick son of God. When you gave your life to Christ, your whole world should have changed. If it didn't, you need to talk to one pastor. When you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you still think you can go out and do the things that you used to do, you did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You just spat in his face and smack him upside the face. Because he knows. He knows those that have truly made a profession of faith, and he knows those that truly didn't. At least the ones that are out there admitting their sinners and going out and doing their stuff. Are telling the truth. Then you got those that are in the church. That's burning. They just can't wait to go out and touch somebody and talk to them on it. Wherever they may be. Drive down the road and have to slam the brake, go back and give somebody money because God told you to give them money. Right, Randy? Didn't happen to anybody else? God ever tell you to stop what you're doing and go do something for somebody else? Raise your hands. Better by ear. That's a good thing. That means your ears were open. That means your heart was open. That means you allowed Christ inside you to come out and do what he wanted to do. When he wanted to reach out and touch someone. Jesus is touchy feeling. Just in case you don't know, he's touchy feeling. Okay, there are people that are not touchy feeling. Touch me. Touch me. That's Germanics. Okay. Jesus is touchy feeling.
Amen.
Get used to it. He touches. He feels. He wants to hug.
Yes.
He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to sing to you.
Yes.
He wants you to sing to him. Greatest lover you could ever have. Greatest brother you could ever have.
Amen.
But there are those who have a form thereof and don't know all the way. But you see, brother, my family wouldn't understand this. They just won't understand me going to church. Because I was born and raised Catholic. And you're going to Baptist church, you're definitely going to hell someday. Or as a Baptist church, are you going to be Catholic now? Let's see how that works out for you.
You may still.
They do have a 45-minute service. Holy cookies and all.
This is true.
They have expressed. When you die, you're dead. You're dead. Raised up by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Genesis talks about the rock. God's Spirit breathed life into you. That's how he created us in the first place. God took some clay and some sand and mud and whatever put it together to form the body. Red man. Spirit came on the way. man said, and opened his eyes. He came in a new meaning. God breathed life in us. Then Adam would. We still have. That's pretty cool. Tell me everybody else hearing that.
Hearing what?
Okay, I didn't want to be sure.
Hearing what?
Angel chimes.
Time's up, Buck. You're out of here. Now that would make a dramatic statement, wouldn't it? There would be an altar full of people repenting really quickly. But Adam died spiritually. And when we said yes to Jesus, and we meant it,
thank you, Jim. I told you you were on.
He breathed life into us again. Old Testament. There's some boys trying to get away from the enemy, and they picked up one of their compadres, and they're trying to get out of it. But the dude's dead. B-E-A-D. Yeah, whatever. Dead. Ain't no life in him. The enemy's catching up. Sorry, brother, you're dead, and we're not, so they ditch him. Threw him in a grave. Doggone it, they just have to throw him in a grave, one of the prophets. Boy popped up grandma. That might have been something to turn your head off. I believe.
Or run faster.
Can't outrun God.
Right.
If it's done, you try. I promise you, you're right smacking. You run into a little 9-year-old, 10-year-old boy who just received Christ, and he'll turn and run up to the first person he sees, the biggest, drunkest guy, to try to tell him about Christ. That was a trip. I had to step in the middle. Mama grabbed the boy up, took him home. Now I got to go with the big truck guy that the kid started with. But the kid was trying to tell him that he just found Jesus. And Jesus just came into his life. And it affected him so much that he had to go tell the first person he saw. Great big drunk. Made preachers look small. Preachers would be mad. I ain't dealing with this guy. Thank you, Jesus, that you do. Said, yeah, I don't understand what you're saying. I'm going to put my hand on your chest. I'm going to pray for you. Boy, instantly sold. Now he understands, now he's mad.
No.
Said, he spent his whole paycheck getting drunk, and now he's selling sold. But you know what? That boy said to me, he said, too much to give, much to require. He was trying to run away from the Lord. The darkest, one of the darkest parts of town, on a Saturday night, there ain't going to be no Christian for our God. There's Christians where we go. Someone act undercover. Double 7, license break, volume mercy. And then you got the other ones, the Robbins, the Randys, the Kirks, the Bridges. So how's your life working out for you? Let me tell you about a guy who changed all that. Himself. Just for me. I just met at that library in my mansion. When he died in Christ, your life should change. If there is no change in your life, please, not for you, please do not believe that I talk to you about that. If your life didn't change, Father, right now, thank you. I thank you for all that you've done. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, for your life. That continues to be life with us. Father, I thank you for your angels that you place the right of the heavens to watch over us. That you send ahead the game. That you send ahead to clear the way, keep the path down. Father, I thank you for your mercy and grace. Lord, please send us your name, I pray.